Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And I want to preach to you this morning about a vain Easter. A vain Easter. V-A-I-N. A vain Easter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time of rejoicing and triumphing in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. How tragic our lives would be, how tragic the Bible would be if that was not the case. We thank you, dear Lord, that you worked out all these things in your wisdom and in your plan before the foundation of the world. We love you, dear Lord, and we thank you that you've given us a free will. We can exercise to choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject Him, Lord. We thank You that we've received Him and You've given to us the gift of eternal life through the precious blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. I pray, dear Lord, if anybody here today is lost, that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to them, Lord, and convict their souls and help them, Lord, to see that Jesus Christ is the only way they can be saved, their only hope for salvation. I pray that they would believe the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that they would receive Him and become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, for the saints that are here this morning, the Christians. I pray, dear Lord, you'd help us to live every day knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected and help us to walk in newness of life with Him. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Amen. As a Bible-believing Christian, I celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Amen. Romans 14:5 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We make the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ, a normal, welcome theme constantly, daily in our house." Amen. Now, one of the many important things that separate biblical Christianity from the religions of the world is the fact that we have a Savior who lived, died, and lives again forevermore. All the other religions, all the other plans of salvation out there are by men who have lived and died, and that was the end. John 10, verse 17 and 18, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I love that. I love that about our Savior. Nothing happened to Him. Amen. He controlled the circumstances. He laid down His life. He gave up the ghost. Had Christ not given up the ghost, He'd still be there on the cross. He had to die before those two thieves could die, because no one could die or stay dead in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life. The Bible says He poured out His soul unto death. Amen. And gave Himself willingly. And not only that, He raised Himself from the dead. He did that in His own power. Amen. First and foremost, as to be obedient to the Father, He received a commandment from God that He would lay His life down of His own will and take it up again in His own power. And He did just that. Amen. And He did it not only to obey God, but out of love for you and I. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And we serve a risen Savior, the only one who can claim, as He did in Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Christ got so excited about that statement, He amened Himself. Amen. I love it. Amen. I love it. "I'm He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. Physically, He is at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. His Spirit indwells every believer, and His presence is with us here this morning because we've gathered together in His name. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Only God could do something like that. Amen. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't have any crucifixes with a dead Christ hanging on them anywhere in here. We serve a living, breathing Savior. Amen. The resurrection proves the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 4 says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." People can talk about it, but listen, nobody ever came up from the dead and stayed alive. You had instances in the Old Testament where those prophets by the power of God worked a miracle and revived someone who had been dead, and those people were resurrected and brought back to life, but eventually they died. Lazarus was risen by our Lord and eventually he died. People in the New Testament who were raised from the dead, both by the Lord and by the apostles, eventually they, mortality caught up with them again and they died. There's only one person who has ever lived and died and is alive forevermore, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's an undeniable, irrefutable fact of history. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." Now the new versions won't say that. The new versions will leave that out. You know why? Because they don't like that word infallible. It upsets them. It goes against their grain. They don't believe in something can be infallible. The Bible says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God universally testifies that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Lost men realize the fact. They might not want to own up to it or admit it, but they know. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. They know. That's why they use his name as a curse name, because the Bible says in Hebrews, when men swear, they swear by the greater. There's nobody greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't hear somebody when they hit their nail with a hammer say, "Oh, Buddha." You don't ever hear somebody say, Muhammadet. You don't hear that. You know why? Because those names don't carry with them a power. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ has the very power that sits on the throne in heaven. Amen. We're given the privilege to preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God universally testifies to the fact that Christ is alive. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Today's a day when the world looks at Easter, and in spite of the bunnies and the eggs, they cannot escape the irrefutable fact of history that there was a man named Jesus Christ who lived and died and rose again. They never found his body. They never recovered any body. They never proved conclusively, and they never produced any evidence contrary to the testimony of over 500 witnesses at once that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says that he appeared unto 500 brethren at once. The laws of jurisprudence state that if witnesses give their testimony and this is put down in writing and no conclusive evidence is given to refute it at that time and nothing is given afterwards that would overthrow their testimony, that testimony stands on the books and cannot be altered or revised. Folks, the fact is, historically, biblically, spiritually, any way that you look at it, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead the third day and he is alive today. Amen. Praise God. We don't have a Christ that we parade around, his relics, his bones as relics, and we parade them around in the streets as they do with Buddha and Muhammad and different religious figures. The Lord Jesus Christ left no bones, amen, not a bone of him is broken, and he has his bones in his body at the right hand of God geographically. Amen. We are given the privilege to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection. John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." And the reason why I have spiritual life is because Jesus Christ paid the ransom for my redemption. He bought me with his precious blood, paid for all my sins, suffered an eternity for every sin I'd ever committed, not for me only, but for the sins of the whole world. Paid the price, said it is finished, was buried, and 3 days later, victorious over death, he rose from the dead, having the keys of hell and death. Amen. And the devil was powerless to do anything about it. Through death, Christ defeated him that had the power of death. And you know what? Against the gospel of Jesus Christ, the devil is powerless to keep a soul from being saved. The worst he can do is try to deceive people and get them off track, or to pervert the gospel of Christ. But the pure biblical doctrine of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. You believe that? Amen. You believe that? You call upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says you are saved. Amen. Not hope to be, not gonna be, not hope so, might so. You are saved. Amen? Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm saved. Not because my parents were Christians, not because I was born that way, not because a church ordained me or told me that. I'm saved because I have trusted the Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Somebody says, well, I was born in this religion, I'm going to die in this religion. Listen, man, I was born bald, toothless, and dumping on myself. But I found there was a better way to be, amen? And I changed, praise God. Y'all can laugh, that's funny. Nothing. There's no law saying you can't laugh about something that's funny in church. What's wrong with you? Imagine the tragic difference in your life if there wasn't a resurrection from the dead. You know what 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19 says? It says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. That's bad. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. That's bad. It goes on. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You never see grandma again. You never see dad again. You never see a wife or husband again. It's over. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, your life wouldn't be any different than an evolutionist's. Your hope would be the same. You know where they're going when they die? The ground. That's what they say. Of course, we know they're going to hell without Christ. But as far as they're concerned, when they're dead, they're just dead and there's no hope. And yet, every communist country that you would ever visit and you go to their graveyards, you know what you'll find on the tombs? Flowers. Why? Because there's something inside of every man and woman, boy and girl, that knows there's more to it than this life. There has to be a resurrection. Springtime teaches you that. Nature tells you that. Amen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I've got something better than this, just this life. Matter of fact, I've got a hope beyond this life that lets me, allows me to gladfully lay down this life for the next. Christ said, he that keepeth his life shall lose it, but whoso loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Hey, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, let me tell you something. I am of all men most miserable. But I got a payday coming. I've got a hope before me that I'm looking forward to with great anticipation. I mean, you talk about a kid on Christmas Eve, man, waiting to unwrap those presents. I am looking forward to a brand new glorified body with no more sin and no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain, and living in a mansion that Christ has prepared for me Himself, and walking on streets of gold with pure and perfect beings surrounding me, praising God for eternity. Amen. And you know, heaven, people think of heaven like I'm sitting on a cloud, floating around with harp. Bling. And Brother Glenn floats by on his cloud and we wave, you know. Bling. That's not what heaven is. Brother, this life is boot camp. This life is school, and it's preparing us for greater service, more significant service to the King of Kings for all eternity. Listen, when you breathe your last breath here and you inhale your first breath in heaven, you're gonna realize then what real living is. Amen. Amen. Well, this is just the introduction, but it's pretty good. Now, with all of that said, some professing Christians are celebrating a vain Easter. They live as if the Lord Jesus Christ were dead. Their faith is vain. Now, if they've truly trusted Christ as their Savior, they're saved. But some of the most miserable people in the world are not lost people. They're saved people. They're saved people who are not walking with the Lord in the light of His Word, not fellowshipping with the Lord. And some Christians are celebrating a vain Easter this morning. I hope it's not your case. I hope that when you sing and talk of the resurrection, it's not empty and meaningless and a waste of time. But for some people it is. My first point is this: ritualistic religion celebrates a vain Easter. In Jeremiah 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. And we know it's a verse that some of the brethren use to tell you you can't have a Christmas tree. And no doubt about it there. I mean, it's a tree that they cut down and deck it with silver and gold and fasten it in their house. And they look at the thing and they pray to it. Now, I don't pray to my Christmas tree. Amen. Now, before you lose your grace, let me say that I don't care. I don't care if you decorate eggs. I don't care if you eat chocolate bunnies. I don't care if you go hunting for eggs. I don't care if you buy a duck or a chicken for a temporary 3-month pet for an eventual gumbo. I don't care how you celebrate Easter. But if that's all you got is bunnies and eggs, then you are celebrating in vain. You got a vain faith. I'm not going to tell you how to raise your family or what you can and can't do in your own home. But if there isn't a time in the midst of all of that when you at least bow your head in gratefulness and gather your family together and thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ is your ever-living Savior, then you've got yourself one of those convenient, slick, Hollywood, news media, politically correct, ultra-sensitive religions that's about as useful as a lead surfboard. It's vain. Isaiah 1:13, God says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You know what? If God can't stand fake religion, I don't see why you should embrace or excuse that junk in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to institute another dead ritualistic religion. He came to give us a real, living, biblical relationship with God. Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, you know, all kind of religions have ways that they pray. The Buddhists, they'll write their little prayer request on a piece of paper and put it on this wheel, and they'll spin it like the Wheel of Fortune. And as many times as that piece of paper goes around on that thing, they think that's as many times as they've prayed. Now, that's a convenient prayer. Jot that thing down and put on it and brrrr, you said about 1,000 prayers. Spin the thing again, amen? Prayer warrior. You got a church that professes to be a Christian church where the people stand and they'll use beads and they'll pray a repetitious prayer that's been written ahead of time, Our Father, or Hail Mary, or Glory Be, and they'll go around that thing like it's a racetrack, and they'll say those repetitious prayers, and they think that God hears them based upon the amount of times they say those things. Don't look at me crooked. You know that's what that church teaches. Listen, the confessional, you go in there and you confess your sins to a man, that's anti-scriptural. And he professes to be able to forgive you and absolve you of your sin and guilt if you say penance. And the penance is reciting dead, vain prayers over and over and over. Come on, man. Use common sense. Examine the Bible. Does that really work? Where is it in here? Where is it at? It's not in here. So don't get mad because I tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is there are professing Christians worldwide who celebrate a vain Easter. They live as though there is no God, or if He exists, He's dead. Televised all over the world is the Pope's Easter Mass. Did y'all watch that? Now, this is the head of a church, the Vicar of Christ, the man that kings and presidents bow down before and call him Holy Father. Why is he reading his prayers? Think about that. If this man is the head of the church, if he's the vicar, the representative of Christ on earth, if he's the substitute Son of God on earth, look up what the word vicar means. If he has men call him Holy Father and bow down and kiss his feet, would you do that? Knowing what you know about yourself? Come on, man. You can't give out some heartfelt, real, genuine prayers that aren't written down for you ahead of time? Folks, somebody's lying to you. Can't the head of your church come up with some heartfelt public prayers that would indicate that he actually walked with God? You know, I've been to some Christian, professing Christian weddings. I have to use that word professing because I just don't know. Christians are some weird folks nowadays. They've departed so far away from this, you can't hardly tell. I've been to some professing Christians' weddings and funerals, and they say, let us pray. And I'm thinking, okay, let's pray. I close my head, I close my eyes. Some people do that when they pray. I close my eyes, I bow my head, and I'm ready. And the guy starts, Our Father which art in heaven. And I'm like, I thought we were going to pray. Christ never told you to pray that prayer. He says, after this manner. He was giving them an example. Right. Amen. We don't pray our Father. That's a Jewish nation, a national prayer. We pray my Father. All kind of stuff in that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, as an American, you should blush if that's your prayer. As much as God has blessed you and blessed this country, to ask God for daily bread, you got to think that thing through, folks. What that scripture is dealing with is people who are in the wilderness, in the tribulation, who are starving because they didn't take the mark of the beast, and God has to supply them with manna miraculously like He did in the wilderness in the Old Testament. You know why you don't understand that stuff? Because you don't read the Bible. Give us this day our daily bread. Hey, you know what God would tell you if you said, God, give me this day my daily bread? You know what He'd say? He does say it in the New Testament. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You want your daily bread? Go work for it. But you don't like that. That's okay. I don't take the offering. It doesn't affect me, so it doesn't matter. You know what biblical prayer is? It's not about what you get or don't get. Biblical prayer is not, God, answer, give me this, give me that. Biblical prayer is about a living relationship that you have with God. Amen. That's all it's about. Getting what you ask for. Hey, He knows what you have need of before you ask. He's already supplied it. He's promised to supply your needs, all your needs, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what prayer's for? You read the book of Esther. Esther comes in there before the king, and of course it was forbidden for anybody to approach the king without being sent for, so she was taking her life in her hands. And the king saw and recognized that it was Esther, so he stretched out that golden scepter, type of Jesus Christ. You know what? God has made a way for you to get to Him, access, and it's through Christ. And you know what that queen said to that king? She didn't immediately run in there and say, listen, Haman's got a plan and he's wanting to kill my people, blah, blah, blah. She says that if it pleased the king. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Not my will, but thine be done. If it pleased the king. Let the king and Haman come to a banquet that I've prepared for them. She's not being sneaky. She's putting the king's pleasure first. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is when you, from your heart, not reading some prayer, not reciting some vain repetition, but when you, from your heart, cry out to God and let Him know how much He means to you and what He is to you and how you love Him and how He loves you and asking for things. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. Would you like to hang around me every time I came around I was asking you for something? Come on, man, go get a job. You wouldn't mind it so much if about most of the time, the majority of the time, I just came around and told you what a great person you were. And how much you changed my life. You know, after a while of that, you wouldn't mind shelling out. You know, that's what parents hate. Parents, Dad, can I have the car? Dad, can I have a couple bucks? Dad, can I have this? You know what Dad wants to hear just once in a while? Dad, I love you. Amen. And when he hears that, just occasionally, even just a like you, he'll hand the keys over. If he's any kind of dad, amen. That's why I don't kill you when you wreck the car. Carrying around these candles. Folks, the only time I ever see a need for candles in a church is when the power fails. Incense, what's all it about? All this pomp and glory with a dead Christ hanging on a crucifix and no assurance of salvation anywhere. You know that church teaches is a sin of presumption to say you know you're going to heaven when you die. Because they say you can't know that. According to this, you can. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things are written that you may believe and know. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Matter of fact, I can't get unsaved. Why? Because I've been born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Some professing Christians, though, they're celebrating a vain Easter because of a ritualistic religion. Celebrates a vain Easter. I went to a funeral one time, and these folks were reading John chapter 14, and which is good. But the problem was, in between every verse of John 14, they'd say Hail Mary. Now you say, what's wrong with that? You're ridiculing other people's faith. No, listen to me now. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hail Mary. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hail Mary. Am I the only one that sees something wrong? Something that doesn't fit? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hail Mary. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Hail Mary. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Hail Mary. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Hail Mary? I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but folks, you have to understand after 15 minutes of listening to this stuff how ridiculous it was and how tragic it is. I don't hate Catholic people. I love them. Many of you folks used to be Roman Catholic and you got saved, and praise God you got out of that system that lied to you. Mark 7, verse 7. Through 9, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. In vain they worship him. In Matthew 23, when Jesus Christ says, call no man your father upon the earth, and the context is religious titles, because he says, call no man master, there's the Eastern religion. Call no man rabbi, there's the Jewish religious title. And call no man father. He's talking about a forbidden religious title. How come your church calls priests father? In direct contradiction of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ called God the Father, Holy Father. That's what your church says of the Pope. There's a disconnect there between that and the truth. Are you willing to face it, and are you willing to act upon it? Or are you going to stick your head in the sand like an ostrich? Folks, 1 Timothy 4 says, In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then he goes on to tell you what those doctrines of devils are. Two things. Forbidding to marry. Celibacy, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Fish on Friday. Doctrines of devils, according to this. You're going to believe tradition, or you're going to believe the Word of God? Well, depending on which one you choose, depends on how you celebrate Easter. With a living Savior, or you celebrate Easter in vain. So many professing Christians have gone so long not caring what God's Word says that they live as though Christ were still dead. He's not. It's a vain faith. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You have a relationship with God this morning, or do you just have a religion? And listen, Baptist religion will damn you just as quick as Catholic religion. I'm not picking on the Catholics this morning alone. You know what? I think they're all wrong, and the Bible's right.
Amen.
Number two, foolish thoughts and a big mouth celebrate a vain Easter. You say, Brother Adam, what in the world kind of Easter message is this? I'm telling you the truth. This is what you get, amen. Maybe your church is closed down on Easter. Foolish thoughts and a big mouth celebrate a vain Easter. It begins with foolish thoughts. Foolish thoughts in the heart. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Psalm 119:113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Talking about worldly wise. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness is sin. You ever have a foolish thought lately? About a half a dozen just since you walked in the door. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. You know what James 1:26 says? He says, if any man among you seemeth to be religious, comes to church on Easter. Good for you. Good boy. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And that's why I say foolish thoughts and a big mouth celebrate a vain Easter. Gossip, complaining, strife. How about some of the words you uttered on your way here this morning? You don't think God heard those things? And then you come in here, he arose, he arose. Come on, man. You're celebrating a vain, you talk as if Christ is dead. He's not, he's alive. Amen. And you know what? The fact that he rose from the dead ought to have a profound effect and change upon your thinking and your talking. Amen. Simon Peter, boy, you know, he got out there and he said, blankety blank, I don't know him. And all of a sudden he heard, that's all I'm doing this morning. I'm trusting with my noise, the Holy Spirit will bring you the words of Jesus to your remembrance and say, you know what? Yep. I better not only apologize to my wife and kids or my husband and kids or my parents for the things that I said this morning on Easter, but I better apologize to my Savior because I acted like He was dead. You're welcome. A risen Savior should have a profound change on your behavior. And then you have the worldly wise, Bible-rejecting, professing Christian who celebrates a vain Easter because he's been duped to believe in evolution. He thinks he came from a monkey. What resurrection does a monkey look forward to? 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know when that scientist says, billions and billions of years ago, there was a big bang and we're all an accident and it's just, you know, matter is eternal. That guy's lying to you. He's telling you vain babblings, and if you believe him, you celebrate Easter in vain. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, who rose from the dead, said that when God created them, He created them male and female. Amen? It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. Right. God says, in the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth. God made man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Somebody wrote this poem, once I was a tadpole when I began to begin, then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Next, I was a monkey in a banyan tree, and now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Ain't evolution wonderful? Folks, I might have had several relatives that swung by their necks, but none of them swung by their tails. Amen. You know what? Conformity and reliance on the world celebrates a vain Easter. And this is my last point, so you can breathe a sigh of relief. Nope, it's not. Second to last. I guess the chocolate will have to wait. Conformity and reliance on the world celebrates a vain Easter. Psalm 60 verse 11 says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. You know, to hear some Christians talk, you would think that politics was the answer. That the Republicans are going to save us. That's kind of like Israel in the Old Testament. Get the ark, it will save us. It never saved anybody. You better get a hold of the God of that ark. To hear some people talk, some professing Christians talk about politics and the country's future, you would think Christ is dead. He's not dead, folks. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You want to have an effect upon this country? Get on your knees. You think that once the disciples knew that Christ has risen from the dead that they gave a rip what the Roman government was up to? When they found out he was alive, man, they could care less what Caesar was doing. They had a job to do. Preach the gospel. Amen. You've got a job to do. Preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. You get people saved and out of the world, that'll make all the profound effect that needs to be made. Problem is, some of you cats, you're trying to make the world a better place. You're trying to air condition the hog pen so the prodigal won't go home. Psalms 127:2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Some Christians are in such a little tizzy. That's a word, right? I can't say that in church, huh? Not a nasty word, is it? They're in such a tizzy about conspiracies and the government. Wait a minute, man. How does that affect you? Well, the price of gasoline. Hey, man, they've been paying $10 for it in Germany for years. God takes care of German Christians. He'll take care of you. What's wrong? You're living like Christ is dead. Your life is vain. You're staying up. You're getting up early, staying up late, pulling your hair out, because you're worried about something that is a manufactured emergency. Why? The news media creates these emergencies so that the government could come right in as the savior and save you. I mean, one time it's global warming, then it's global cooling. One time coffee will kill you, next thing it's good for you. They're going to come out, eventually they'll come out with a study that spanking your kids actually helps them out. Eureka! TV said it, it's got to be true, amen? Well, it's a little bit after 12, I'm on my last point, here we go. A lazy Christian celebrates a vain Easter. Man, when Christ rose from the dead, you know what he did? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world." Amen. He's alive. His orders have not changed. And for you to sit there and pretend like just because you came to church, you graced us with your presence this morning, that somehow that is your duty as a Christian, let me tell you something. You are celebrating Easter in vain. If there is not one person that you made an attempt to tell about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the last few months or the next few weeks, if that's not the case with you, listen, friend, you are celebrating a vain holiday. Christ's resurrection has no personal effect upon you, and it should. Man, have the bunnies, eat the chocolate, paint the eggs, I don't care. But you better live like Christ is alive, and you better tell folks he's alive. If you're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ as a Christian, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, I better stop because some of y'all are feeling really pretty vain about now. And you're like, man, next Easter, we're just going to cancel service is what we're going to do. Let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." How? Why? "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." If you got the real truth about the resurrection, you're doing a job. You're working. You're not sitting around being lazy. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1 says, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Well, I'm saved. That's all that matters. I'm going to heaven. That's okay. I don't need a crown. I'm saved. You know, when judgment finally came to Sodom and Gomorrah, old Lot wished he could have had an influence over his sons-in-laws, but when he told them God's going to burn this place, they laughed. He said, "Oh, Dad, man, you're such a joker." They thought he was mocking. You know why? Because they never saw anything in that old man that ever told them that he walked with God. The truth was, Lot, according to the New Testament, was a just and righteous man, and his soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But he never let anybody know about it. You know what Lot was busy doing? Instead of being a witness, he was sitting in the gate. He was trying to legislate morality, and he was trying to fix Sodom by law. You know what the Sodomites said? "This guy came in to sojourn us, and now he must needs be a judge." Lot was running for office. You know what he should have done? He should have gotten out. And he should have preached. But he got comfortable. And some folks are just comfortable, and they celebrate a vain Easter. Bunnies and eggs and chocolate. That's the best they got. I'm sorry for you. You know, we're at the finish line. It's time to get busy and stay busy. A Christian who's not doing what Christ said to do is living in vain. Christ tells a parable. He says, you know, he tells these men early in the morning, he gets them up. He says, go work in my vineyard. What's right, I'll pay you. He sees some men standing around in the marketplace in the middle of the day, and he says, hey, why are you standing here idle? Go work in my vineyard. I'll pay you what's right. At the 11th hour, 1 hour before quitting time, he finds a couple more people standing around. He says, look, go work in my vineyard. I'll pay you what's right. And at the end of that thing, when pay time comes, you know what? They all get a whole day's pay. You know, the ones that started in the morning say, hey, man, we worked like dogs. We sweat. We were in the heat of the day. You pay us the same, pay them the same as you're paying us. And he's like, hey, you're going to be upset because I'm good? I paid you a full day. I paid you what you worked for. Folks, we're on the last bit of the church age. I don't know when Christ is coming, but it's got to be soon. All you got to do is work for 1 hour and you'll get paid as if you worked all day long. You're not going to take him up on that? You're not going to get busy? Listen, I'm not telling you to throw out your records. I'm not telling you to burn your DVDs. I don't care what you got in your house. God cares, and you don't care what he thinks. Amen? Why would you care what I think? I don't care. Keep it. But in the midst of all that worldliness, get some tracts and pass them out. Amen. Lay up some kind of treasure in heaven. Amen? Don't become a monk and think you've got to live this sheltered life and never smile again. No, God didn't tell you that. In the midst of enjoying all the good things that God has blessed you with, lay up some treasures in heaven and put the Word of God out. You can do it anonymously. You don't even have to hand it to a person. Leave it in a phone booth. Amen? There's no phone booth. Where's Superman going to change in his cell phone? leave him in a cab, amen? When you go to the store, slip him in a beer can. And use the tracks that don't have our address and my phone number. When you go to the JCPenney, slip him in a suit pocket, amen? Leave him at a park bench. Somebody will get it. There was a man who got saved. He avoided Christian witnesses like the plague, and he was a diver, and he got down there, and he was picking up some clams, and he saw something sticking out of this clam's mouth. And he brought that thing up, and when he opened that clam, it was a gospel tract. And it was still legible, and he said, if God went through those extremes to try to get the gospel to me, I better get saved. And he got saved. A psychiatrist, a Jewish psychiatrist, his wife had died. He was at the brink of despair. He was sitting on a bench on the beach in Hawaii, and he was about to take his life. He had no family, no friends, nothing to live for. He thought he would just float out and just drown and end his life. And about that time, he was about to get up, and a gust of wind blew a piece of paper up against his leg, and he picked it up, and it was a gospel tract, What Must I Do to Be Saved, from a church in Ohio. And he read it, and he got saved, and it changed his life. And he wrote that church, and he says, I don't know how your tract from Ohio got to Hawaii, and it blew up against my leg, and I'm a Jew, and I got saved, but I want to let you know. And sent him some money. It's amazing what God could do if you just give him a little bit of time. Give him a little bit of effort. He can take that boy's 5 loaves and fishes and feed 5,000 plus with it. God's not looking for you to do the job of some great mega church evangelist. He wants you to do what you can do. Amen. And if you'll do that starting today, celebrating Easter will mean something. Because Christ will be alive personally in your heart. Amen? Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for the folks that came by. I pray, dear Lord, that they were ministered to and that the Word of God will do a work in their hearts. Lord, I'm sure that I've said some things that stepped on toes or maybe offended, and I don't apologize for that because it's true. I pray that these folks would investigate and learn the history and see what the Bible says and find out what their church actually teaches before they accuse me of some hatred or bigotry. That's not the case. We love everybody. We want to see everybody saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there is only one way to be saved, and it's not through Mary, it's not through Muhammad, it's not through Buddha, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Jesus Christ of the Bible, because we know we've been warned in the Bible that there are many Christs, and that there are false Christs, and there are people that pervert the gospel. And it's our responsibility to search for the truth and to act upon it when we hear it. Help these folks, Lord, not to celebrate a vain Easter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for coming. We have evening service at 4:00 if you want to be here. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming today.